Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Hey, what I want to speak to you tonight about is I believe this. I believe if you can get a hold of this two-phrase thing, it could change your life forever. How many come to church and you want to know that you could leave different than the way that you came in? Just raise your hand real quick, wave at me. Almost everybody in this room, including myself, wants to come to church, but I want to leave different. Why? Because I want to get something from God that's going to help me in my life. And I know at times things can get hard and things can get tough and things can seem like nothing's going to ever get better. But I'm here to tell you, God can do something in those times. God can do something when you feel like things aren't getting better. God can do something in times of your life when you feel like things are too hard for things to get better. And I feel that tonight, there's a thing that we tend to forget, including myself, because I'm going to preach to myself tonight. Is that all right? Is that cool? Okay, because I'm with you guys. And I feel there's a thing that we tend to forget, and that's gratitude. Has anyone ever been in a place in your life, and just be honest with yourself, you could write it down, you could ask yourself this later, you can go home tonight and be like, what did Pastor Donnie say, and write it down, and then answer it later. I don't know how you want to do it, but here's what I want to ask you. Has anyone ever been in a place in your life where, man, God gave you a blessing, God gave you provision, God may have healed you, God may have done something that you never thought he would do, but yet you might have said thank you with your heart and your mouth, but then you just kept on going. And what I mean by keep on going is you forget who to return the gratitude to. You know, it's kind of like this. I have, you know, anybody got kids in here? Raise your hand if you got some kids. Okay. So where you can go with many places with kids, right? And then, you know, you want to do, so you have like different kids. I have three boys and I love all three of my boys, but all three of my boys are very different, if you know what I mean. Anybody got that problem where everybody has 10 kids, one acts one way, one acts another way, one acts like he's not even from your family. You get what I mean? You're just like, where did this dude come from? Like, are you sure that's my kid? No, I'm just kidding. But you get what I'm saying? And so I have three boys and I love all three of my boys, but here's the thing. Something that makes me happy as a dad is if I do something for my kids, y'all know where I'm going. And the son says to me, thank you. All of a sudden, that makes me just want to do more for that son. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, man, his heart's so kind and his and the gratitude there, it's something good about that. I even told my wife the other day, you know, there's one of our sons is like so grateful. All three of my sons are grateful. I'm not gonna put anybody on blast, but you have that one just a little more than the other, you know what I mean? And one is like that. And I love all my kids. So let me make that very clear right at the top before y'all like, yo, that pastor has one kid that he really loves. And then you see them and you'll be like, oh, that must be the one. Please don't try to figure it out. But I have this one that's grateful about everything. And it makes me want to continue to do more for him. Yeah. Where I'm going tonight is in Luke chapter 17, because I want you to get something. I want you to get this story and I want you to understand something, because I'm gonna set it up real quick. There were 10 leopards that were in a place crying out mercy to God. And God speaks something to them. Jesus says something to them to go do. He gives them instructions on what they need to do. In other words, Jesus says, go show yourself to the priests. And so all 10 of these lepers begin to take the step of obedience, what Jesus asked them, and all of a sudden they go do what it is, and all of a sudden something happens. Check this out. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 11 through 19. And tonight we're going to be hanging out in this passage of scripture, and we're going to break it down a little bit, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. But in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, it says this. And Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem. He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he entered a village there. 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Verse 15 says, one of them, say one. of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." Verse 16 follows and says, he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him, say thanking, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this one foreigner?" The least expected one, church. The least expected one to come back is the one that comes back to give glory to God. And it says in verse 19, and Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." So what I want you to see tonight is this. There was 10 guys dealing with leprosy. All 10 got healed and all 10 got what they wanted. But there was one who remembered where the healing came from. There was one who didn't keep walking away. While the other 9 were walking away, there was one to say, wait a minute, Jesus healed me. Jesus said to go show myself to the priest. And as I went and showed myself to the priest, I was healed. So because Jesus healed me, I need to go back to who the person was to heal me. In other words, I'm not going to keep walking away. Instead, I'm going to come back. And the word of God says he came back with gratitude and gave thanks for what Jesus has done. See, and I think sometimes in our life, we forget at times, including myself, to have a heart of gratitude and say thank you for just the little things. Now, leprosy wasn't a little thing. That was a big thing. But there are things in our own life that we continue to see over and over and over, and we see God do and continue to do and continue to do, yet we forget to go back to God with a heart of gratitude and say thank you. See, here's what I believe, and you'll see it later on in the scripture. Because the one that went back didn't just receive healing, he received wholeness as well. And that's an important thing to understand. That is something that we need to get, is because he went back to give thanks and give a heart of gratitude, God said, oh, whatever it is, wholeness, here it is. Don't you wonder sometimes what it is that you can go back and give gratitude for God for? Maybe you're in a place in your life where you feel stuck. You're not moving forward. And God's just saying, hey, I did this already for you, but yet there is no heart of gratitude for what I've done. Now, I'm not saying I need your thank yous and I don't need your applauses. I don't need that. Here's what I'm saying, is it's important to remember where the giver comes, who gives the gift of giving, and the gift of the gratitude is Jesus. But it's important for you to understand something. The one who receives it needs to give back to Jesus what he's been given. And at times we forget. And so I'm gonna challenge something to you tonight, that you don't forget, that you remember everything in your life comes from God. And you remember to go back and say, thank you, Jesus. Just the other day, I was talking to my wife and we were sharing conversations and we were saying, you know what we need to do? Every night when we go to bed, we need to spend time just giving God gratitude. Telling God, thank you for the day. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you I'm well. Thank you I'm breathing. Thank you for the job. Thank you my kids are serving the Lord. Thank you, God, and continue to give him gratitude, because listen, that's where it's deserved at. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says it like this: a grateful heart is the beginning of a great life. In other words, if you want to see a great life, how many would want to say that you want to see a great life in here? Raise your hand. All of us in here say, I want to have a great life. Here's what you got to have: a grateful heart. And listen, it's easy to have a great heart when things are going good. It's easy to have a great heart when your bank account's full. It's easy to have a great heart when everything in your life is fine. It's easy to have a gratefulness and be thankful for and everything is fine. But when things get hard, that's where you're going to be challenged at, whether you're going to give God praise or whether you're going to walk away like the other 9, or you're going to stay like the one and continue to give him praise and thanksgiving for what he's done. So tonight, if you're a note taker and you like to write things down, and I want you to write this down tonight. The first one we're going to talk about tonight is this. Gratitude shifts your vision. Gratitude and having a heart of thanksgiving shifts your vision. Here's what I mean. Luke chapter 17, verse 14 says it like this. He looked, say looked. He looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priest. And they went. They were cleansed of their leprosy. See, listen, don't you think Jesus could have already healed them? The minute they cried out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Don't you believe and think he's Jesus? He didn't have to tell them anything. He could have just said, oh, have mercy on me. There it is. And bam, they're healed, right? But see, Jesus challenged him with something. He says, I'm going to heal you, but here's what I'm going to challenge you with. Will you be obedient to get up and go what I asked you to do? Will you shift your vision of where you're at and having mercy and crying out? Because I tell you what, I'm sure it's been more than one time that they cried out. Because having leprosy means you're distanced from everybody. It's kind of like a pit bull locked up in a cage. You can't get out. Here's why. People that had leprosy weren't allowed to be in the public area. Do you not think at some time in their life, they were telling other people who claimed that they were prophets, other people who claimed they were healers, do you not think that they were saying, help me, but Jesus was the one who said, go show yourself? All power, all knowing Jesus, all he had to do is just go, you're healed. But yet he gave him instructions. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, why do you think he said, go show yourself to the priest? Here's what I believe. I'm not saying this is a theological thing. I'm just saying this is what I believe. I believe Jesus was testing them to see whether he can heal them. I believe Jesus was wondering, were they going to get up from the position they were at and the place they were at and actually take the step of obedience and have faith that they could be healed? Or were they going to stay in the same position and the same place and want everything done for them over and over and over? But when they show themselves to the priest, what happens? They get healed. As they went to the priest, their healing took place. Gratitude works the same way. Can I be honest with you, church? Gratitude works the same way. What I mean by that, when you choose to thank God before you see your breakthrough. I don't know if y'all got this or not. But when you choose to thank God before you see your breakthrough that you're waiting for, that's a heart of gratitude. In other words, you're in a position right now and you can't pay your electric bill, but yet you say, thank God that my electric bill is going to be paid, and all of a sudden God pays your bill somehow. Or you're in a position right now where your body needs healing and you're sick and doctors have given you a report and there is no hope in the report that they've given you, but yet you say, God, even though I feel sick, even though I feel like this, even though I'm in pain, even though this is bothering me, God, here's what I know. Doctors gave me this report, but God, I'm going to shift my vision a little bit and I'm going to believe, God, that you're going to heal me before you even heal me. Who says we have to wait for it to happen to give thanks? Who says we got to wait for us to receive the miracle we've been waiting for to say, thank you, God, for that miracle? See, I believe God is looking for people that will rise up who haven't received what they've been promised and yet still say, God, thank you that it's coming. Thank you that I'm receiving it. Thank you that I'm going to have it. Why? Because I believe that's what God wants from his people. Here's why, it's moving in faith. And God wants us to move in faith. And when we move in faith, guess what? We see the hand of God move. We've heard stories, we've heard testimonies, we've seen it in our own lives. When you take out your last $10 and you're broke and you don't know how you're gonna eat and you drop it in the offering bucket and then all of a sudden you get a job that triples the salary you were at before. Or all of a sudden you get blessed by somebody walking out of the church and you had no idea who the person was, and all of a sudden they blessed you because God spoke to them because you were obedient, did what God asked you to do, and when you did what God asked you, it caught God's attention, you stepped out and did it, and now God said, here, I'm gonna bless you somehow. Gratitude shifts your vision. Lepers could have doubted. They could have had not believed that God was going to heal them. They could have given up. They could have stopped, but yet they didn't. Their vision shifted and said, he's the Messiah, and because he's the Messiah, he's going to heal me. Think of it like this. Two travelers on the same forest. Two travelers walking down the same forest path. One complains the whole time. One's like, it's dark, the path is rough, I'm tired. And the other one notices the sunlight through the trees, everything's bright, the sound of the birds, the path is opening up ahead. Here's what I want you to see. Same road, same distance, same condition. Here's what's different, different vision. See, the difference isn't the journey, it's in the eyes of who you choose to walk with. Gratitude shifts your vision. It helps you see like this. Check this out. Gratitude helps you see like this. It moves your eyes from why me to what is God doing in me. To I don't have enough to God has been faithful in my life. To I'm overwhelmed to I'm not alone. Church, get this. I gotta tell you this. Gratitude's not gonna remove your struggles. It's not gonna remove your struggles. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you the more you say thanks, the more less problems you're gonna have. Listen, you're gonna have struggles. I have to be real enough to tell you, as a believer and as a pastor, or I'd be wrong, you're gonna go through things in life. You're gonna have struggles. But here's what the gratitude's gonna do. It's gonna help you shift the vision of what you're going through and allow God to see it with you and work through it with you. Just like Paul encouraged the Philippians who were in Philippi. Here's what he says. They were facing pressures, opposition, and uncertainties. But yet Paul tells them, no matter what you're going through, have thanksgiving. See, we too can shift our vision by whatever we're going through. Have thanksgiving about what we're going through. You mean I gotta be thankful that I'm going through this situation? Yes, here's why. There's an end to your situation. And the end to your situation, his name is Jesus. But what you gotta do is shift your vision to see that Jesus is working in it with you. And you're not alone in it. And I believe this, church, if you can shift your vision and see what you're going through right now, even right at this moment, if you can shift your vision and say, okay, God, you're in this with me. And if you're in this with me, guess what? You're gonna walk through this with me. And there's gonna be into it, meaning this, I'm gonna get through what I'm going through, not because of me, not because of my strength, not because of others, but because of the strength of Jesus Christ. Author and famous preacher Joyce Meyer said it like this: when we give thanks, we shift our focus from our problems to God's power. And then she says this, and that is where breakthrough begins. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, don't worry, say worry, about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thanks, say thanks. And thank him for all he has done. Come on, church. Do we believe that we can tell God thank you? See, this verse teaches us how gratitude works as a catalyst for breakthrough in our simple life. In other words, this verse teaches us that whatever we face and whatever circumstances we're going through, we can say, God, thank you that I'm going through it, God, because God, I know you're with me and you'll never leave me nor forsake me and you will walk me through this right now. And God will. He'll walk you through it. He'll get you through it if you don't keep walking. If you don't keep walking. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. God's doing something for you, and you forget to go back to give gratitude to God. Wasn't there 10? Come on, didn't I read the story? Wasn't there 10? How many went back? One. How many was grateful what God did in their life? One. I pray that we're all grateful for what God does in our life. Come on, church, can we believe that tonight? That we're all grateful. We're not gonna be like the other nine and walk away, but instead we're gonna be like the one who goes back to give gratitude. Which leads me to my next point is this, if you're taking notes, gratitude draws you back to Jesus. Gratitude draws you back to him. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 15 through 16, remember I told you we were hanging out in this book tonight and in this chapter, it says this, one of them, say one. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell on the ground at his feet of Jesus, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan, meaning he was the least expected. There was 10 lepers that were healed, but only one returned to Jesus. So the 10 were healed, but the one that returned, guess what? Got full impact of the miracle that God wanted to give him. Because I'll show it to you in the scripture later on where that impact came from. See, when we stop to say thank you, we acknowledge God in our lives. We acknowledge that God's doing something in our heart. We acknowledge that God is doing something for us in our life. Listen, how many of you, I could ask you this question and be honest with yourself. Don't be like, "I'm not gonna raise my hand. I'm in church and I don't want anybody to see me." How many of you are grateful when people say thank you to you? Raise your hand. Does it bother you or is it just this, pastor? Can I be honest? Like when you hold a door for somebody and they just walk right through it, like you owe them to hold the door. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you go out of your way and you're being super nice and you hold that door and they just like, pfft. Am I the only one that's like, hold up? Makes you just want to slam the door? No, I'm just kidding. But really it does, right? Inside you're like, ew. Come on, let's be real. Can we be real? Inside you're like, I'm not gonna do that one again. Think I'm your doorman or something? No, I'm just being kind. But then you have that one person, right? Like I'm talking about an experience I had at the gym just the other day. Held the door open and you know, this walked through like, yo it to me. Like, I don't owe you nothing, first of all. Second of all, I'll hold the door for my wife, but I don't need to hold it for you. But then you have that one person after like five people that you're holding the door for, if you get what I'm saying? At that point, you should just like, yo, just go work out, forget it. But at that point, the last person that walks through says, thank you. You're like, oh, finally somebody got it. At times, I wonder if that's God's heart. Can I just submit a question to you? God does something powerful in your life. Blesses your business beyond you can think or imagine. Blesses your family. Does all these things in your life, and all of a sudden, you forget to go back and say, God, thank you for meeting me where I was at. God, I want to sit here with you just for a moment. I don't need nothing from you right now, God. But God, I just want to sit here with you for a moment and show my heart of gratitude and tell you thank you for doing that in my life. Thank you for showing me those things. God, thank you for opening that door that I never thought would be open, God. God, thank you for healing my body, God. Thank you, God, for the finances. God, I may not have everything that I need, but God, thank you that I'm not without anything. That God, you always show up. Don't you think that excites the heart of God? Enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving with a heart. Psalmist writes, don't you think that excites God? That we can come into a place of gratitude and a place of thank you, God. Thank you for what you did in my life. You guys have heard the word so much thank you tonight. You're probably thinking, I want to hear thank you again. But here's why I'm repeating myself. The more I repeat myself, the more you're going to remember it. And the more you're going to remember to go back to God and say, come on, church, if you believe that tonight. Take the time. Take the time to say thanks to God. And I'm not talking about, oh, thank you, God, for this great day. Bye. I'm talking about spend some time in his presence and write down some things that you are thankful for. You know, last year I was going through some tough things and some tough stuff in my life and I was battling and I was fighting and I was just at a place of like, man, God, I don't know if I'm ever gonna get through this. I'm in pain, I'm not feeling well. And I remember a good friend of mine who's one of my spiritual mentors text me out of nowhere and said, hey, I got a word for you while I was out talking to the Lord and here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to write down things of gratitude every morning in your prayer time. Things that you're thankful for. Church, can I be honest with you and transparent with you? It was hard for me to do that. You wanna know why it was hard? Because at the time, there was a lot that I couldn't be thankful for in my mind. There was a lot that I was going through. It was like, why am I going through this? But I had to shift my vision. I had to change something. And then I had to start writing. Okay, here's what I'm thankful for, because this person that was telling me to do this was on me. Hey, did you do it today? Hey, show me your list. Show it to me. That's a real mentor. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, they're on you to make sure you're accountable, doing what you need to do. And so here I am. And then finally, I start writing these things down. And I can see God moving as I'm writing these things down. And here's what I saw. I saw God shifting my vision as I was writing things down. And then what I saw as I was writing things down, those things I was writing down that I was thankful for before they even happened started to come to pass. So I challenge some of you tonight to start writing stuff down. Matter of fact, I challenge you the same way that my mentor challenged me. Write down things starting tonight. When you wake up all the way till Thanksgiving, write down what you're thankful for. Write it out. Talk to your spouse about it. If you don't have a spouse, write it out. Talk to a friend. Talk to somebody about it. Here's why. The more you do it, the more you're going to see God move in your life, and the more gratitude and a heart of gratitude you're going to have towards God. I once heard a story about a missionary. And in this story, man, it just caught my attention. It caught my attention because it's so hard to believe sometimes some of the things that you hear and then people go and do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You hear a lot of things. People preach about things, hear things. Oh, I heard this, I heard that. But then when you see it with your own eyes and you recognize it, it's something that changes your life. And when my mom was younger, she had flown to China on a mission trip. Now, this isn't who the story is about, but my mom had flown to China. She was on a mission trip. And her plane, she goes, she had the hardest time getting on a plane again because the plane, while it was up there, it was hit some bad turbulence. And all of a sudden, it dropped so quick. She thought in her heart, she thought, I'm going to go meet Jesus today. Obviously, she didn't. She was continuing to be my mom, but it was a frightening thing to happen. And so I heard a story once again. This story is not about my mom. This story is something that I heard a missionary share one time, and I'm going to go ahead and share it with you. A missionary once shared about flying through terrible storm overseas. The turbulence was so intense that bags were falling, people were shouting, and even the flight attendants looked terrified. It felt like the whole plane was dropping from the sky. But eventually, the plane broke through the clouds and landed safely. As everyone hurried off, grabbing their bags and moving like nothing happened, the missionary noticed one older woman who didn't rush. She stepped to the side, placed her hand on the wall of the terminal, bowed her head, and whispered, "Thank you, Jesus. I know you brought us through." Everyone else kept walking, but she returned to the heart to give thanks. The missionary later said this: watching her reminded him that God does so many small miracles every day, and we often rush right past them. But those who stop, those who return, those who say thank you, they experience God more deeply than others. Just like the Samaritan leper, that woman came back spiritually. She didn't just enjoy the blessing of safety. She returned to Jesus with thanksgiving. Church, what can I challenge you with tonight? What are you facing right now? What is God speaking to you about? What in your life have you been going through and God's been doing, but you haven't returned thanksgiving to Him? What is that one thing right now that you walked in here with and you saw God's hand move, but yet you forgot to go say thank you to Jesus? What is that thing in here right now that you're facing and you need to say thank you to Jesus so you can see the breakthrough? What is that one thing? I challenge you. Here's what I challenge you. Your breakthrough is probably right there. Your breakthrough is right there at the very edge of where you're at. But God is waiting for you to have a heart of gratitude to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. And then you see breakthrough. But Pastor, I do say thank you. Okay. And I'm not seeing my breakthrough. Maybe your heart's not in gratitude. Listen, let me just be honest with you. Our lips can say a lot of things, but our hearts can say a few things. And the word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if your heart isn't lined up with what's coming out of your lips, come on. If your heart ain't lined up with what's coming out of your lips, you better be careful what you say. So line it up. Tell God thank you. Thank him for moving in your life. And watch how the breakthrough comes through. Matter of fact, I love a Christine Kane, author, great preacher, gonna be here for Gino, the Bless You Women. She said it like this: a grateful heart draws you closer to God and positions you for the next move. Psalmist wrote this in Psalms chapter 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Which leads me to the last one tonight. And it's this: gratitude unlocks your breakthrough. I want you to notice something important here. His breakthrough, his complete healing, was tied not only to the miracle, but to his response to gratitude. The one leper that came back, his breakthrough, his complete healing, wasn't just tied to the one miracle that God did. All 10 were healed, but the one who came back, he got more of it because it's a response to gratitude and his response to God. See, church, gratitude is more than a thank you. It's an expression of faith that activates God's power in your life. Let me say it again so you can get this. Gratitude is more than a thank you, but it's an expression of faith that activates God's power in your life. When the leper returned to Jesus, he didn't just acknowledge the healing. He connected with the giver. That simple act of thankfulness unlocked the fullness of his miracle. In our lives, breakthrough often comes the same way. There was a time in my life, several years ago, there was a time in my life where I was in ministry and preaching the gospel and ministering to youth and young adults and running a restoration thing, and a time in my life where I was just busy doing ministry and doing what God has asked me to do. And just being very transparent with you guys tonight, is that okay? Can I be real? Is that okay? Can I be real tonight? Just wave at me. Okay, you're okay with that, because y'all are real too, right? Okay, so just a time in my life where I was going through a lot, and I was doing a lot of ministry, and I felt the weight of 3 or 4 ministries over me next to being an associate pastor in the church of the church where I was at. So there was a weight of that. When that pastor was gone, I was preaching on his Wednesday nights, his Sunday mornings even, doing baptisms. I remember one Sunday morning, it was 2 services, baptisms after, and a Sunday night service in youth. And at that point, I was tired. Oh, and then Monday night was Breaking Free, which was called Elevate Freedom at the time. That was a lot. Guess what? I had a full-time job too at the same time. But I had to push through. People ask me today, how'd you do it? I said, grace of God. Because there ain't no way I could do that. And so during this time, I was going through this time, especially with teenagers. I love teenagers. I've been in youth ministry for a long time. But how many know teenagers can be very hard to get response from, or even know if they're listening to what you're saying? I've had people come up to me like, I don't know how you do it, bro. And I go up to them, I don't know how you do it, because I can't handle the kids. I can handle the teens, but there's a level I can't handle. My patience is not there for that, okay? And so I was going through the season of my life, and it was tough and it was hard. And I just felt like nothing was working. Has anyone ever been there before? Like, you just feel like nothing's working, just in this hard time and going through the season. And actually, I'll just be so honest with you guys. I was ready to take that towel and just say, I'm done. I can't do this. I got a full-time job. I'm on a stipend over here. I could walk away from this real easy because I'm busy at my job doing network engineering for a company. I can't handle all this. This is too much. And I remember going home after preaching on Wednesday nights with the teens and like telling my wife, I suck. This is horrible. Kids don't listen. They don't like it. We have all these issues going on. Like, I'm just done with it. And then I had to get up early in the morning and go to work the next day. So you can feel my pain. I was going through a lot and I was struggling. But I'll never forget this one thing that happened. And if anyone's ever been a youth pastor or served teenagers in here, you may know exactly, or even kids or even adults, where I'm going with this one note that I got from a teenager that said, Pastor, I was on the urge of committing suicide. But because of what you preached on Wednesday night, I decided not to. Church, I don't even remember what I preached on that Wednesday night. I'm just being honest. But that one note changed my whole life. And guess what 2 words were in that note? At the very end of that note, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my youth pastor. That one thing, one note, changed my life forever. That one note made me fall back in love with what God called me to do. That one note helped me be a different person and helped shift my vision to see things differently. Because here I had this teenager that was on the verge of committing suicide. And a note that says, thank you. I chose not to because of what you said last night in service. Church, can I be honest with you? If you haven't caught this yet, that thank you changed everything in my life. It shifted my vision. It changed my heart towards ministry. It changed my heart towards God. Because there was a time I was frustrated with God. Come on, can I be real? There was a time I was angry and I was mad. And I felt like I was just beating the bricks and not nothing happening. Some of you are in that place right now. But that one thank you shifted something in my heart. And I'll never forget that day. I still think, and I think I know that I know that I know that if I dig through some of my drawers, I'll find that note because I saved it. I saved it because it reminds me of there are people, come on, that there are people that have a heart of gratitude and are thankful at times. I know we live in a tough world, church. I know we live in a hard world. I know we hold doors open for people and we don't hear thank you. I get it. But here's what I believe. The more we become thankful for what God is doing and what God does in our life, the closer it brings us to God and to his heartbeat. Matter of fact, I once heard it said like this by a great man of God. He said it like this: gratitude is the secret ingredient that turns what God had already done into the breakthrough that you need. Paul reminds us and reminds the believers in Thessalonica to maintain the spirit of gratitude no matter what, regardless of the situation. He says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Be thankful in all circumstances. Be what? Be what? Thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. As we come to a close tonight, I want you to see something powerful. Something that ties all this together is this. Gratitude doesn't just change how you feel, it changes how you live. Gratitude calms your nerve systems. Doctors actually believe this. There have been statistics that say this, that gratitude calms your nerve systems. It lowers your stress. It boosts your immune system. It increases joy, peace, and emotional health, as well as heart health. There's more than gratitude than just the spiritual side. There's a physical side of us as a church having a heart of gratitude. But it doesn't just begin there, because on the spiritual side, here's what it does. It transforms your spirit even more. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. It transforms your spirit because it shifts your vision. Think about everything we learned tonight. Gratitude shifts your vision. It opens your eyes to what God is doing even before the miracle shows up. It draws you back to Jesus and it unlocks your breakthrough. Tonight I have a final statement that I want to say and I want you guys to see. It should be up behind me. But the statement is this: when you return to Jesus with gratitude, he returns to you with a breakthrough. Say it with me. On three, one, two, three. When you return to Jesus with gratitude, he returns to you with a breakthrough. Say it again. When you return to Jesus with gratitude, he returns to you with what? A breakthrough. Tonight I want to remind you, return to Jesus. Let him know how grateful you are. thank him for everything he's done in your life. I just want to take a moment. And if you're in this place tonight and you could be really honest with yourself as we close, and you're in this place tonight and you could be really honest with yourself and you're saying you've missed having gratitude, or you miss saying thank you to Jesus, can you just slip your hand up real quick all over this room? Come on, all over. I see the hands everywhere. Come on, keep them up. Nothing to be ashamed of. My hand's up. I've missed it. We've missed it. We've all missed it somewhere. I just want to pray with you. Is that all right? Because I know, because you feel you missed it, you feel like you won't see it. And that's a lie from the enemy. It's not true. So Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, for all these hands, God, that are lifted up in this place, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that they came to a place, Lord, and they said they missed it. And they should have returned back and they should have said thank you. So Father, forgive us, Lord, for not returning that thank you, for not having that heart of gratitude, Lord. Tonight, God, as our hands are lifted, you see us, Lord. You know all of us and you know our hearts, God. I ask, God, that you would forgive each and every one of us, God. And we repent, God, for not returning it back to you, Lord. So Father, I thank you right now that you bless your people all over this place, Lord, all over this room, God. Bless them tonight, God. Let them feel your presence, God. Let them know that you're grateful and you're thankful for them, God. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. For a moment, I just want to speak to you. Matter of fact, I'm going to do a little different. If you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. Maybe you walked in this place tonight and you're hearing about gratitude and you're hearing about thank you, and you don't know anything much about Jesus or who Jesus even is. And so maybe you're in this place tonight and you're struggling in your faith. You're struggling in your walk. You're struggling with even believing. But tonight I wanna share something with you for just a few more moments. Then we'll transition the service. But this is the most important part. So if you didn't get anything in the message, this is what I want you to get tonight. Tonight, you can walk out of this room and get in a car accident. You could walk out of this room, your heart could stop. You could walk out of this room, end up in a hospital. You could walk out of this room and hit a tragedy. You could walk out of this room and an earthquake can hit Southern California and wipe us all out. Or we could walk out of this room and Jesus could come back for his people tonight. But my question to you is this. Tonight, if you got up out of your chair and you walked out of this room and you got in a car accident or your heart stopped or you went to the hospital and you never came out, and if tonight was your last night here on earth and you died tonight, would you wake up in heaven or would you wake up in hell? Ask yourself that question right now. You might be thinking to yourself, and I know you might be thinking to yourself, you know what, Pastor? I'm a good person. I go to church. I listen to the worship. Listen, you can be a good person. You can go to church. You can listen to worship. You can even lift your hands in worship. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you won't end up in heaven, you'll end up in hell. And so tonight, I just wanna see where you're at. Tonight, I wanna see if you're in that place. Because I know you're maybe thinking to yourself, well, I'm here every Sunday, I come on Wednesdays, I come on Sunday night. Good, I'm glad you keep coming to church, but that's not a ticket into heaven, and that's not how you're gonna get into heaven. See, there's only one way into heaven, and that's this: having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Meaning coming to yourself, denying your wants, denying your desires, and submitting your heart and saying, God, I want to serve you the rest of my life. God, I believe that you died, and I believe that you rose again from the dead. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth. And the word says you will be saved. And so maybe you're in this place tonight, and you've never came to that realization, or you never came to that place. And so tonight I'm going to give you the greatest invitation that you will ever receive. And here's what it is: to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. to know without a doubt that if tonight was your last night here on earth and you stood before Jesus, he would look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Because the opposite of that is this: depart from me, I never knew who you were. Cast you into the lake of fire for eternity. Pastor, you're pretty straightforward about this. You're pretty real about it. Yeah, I'm passionate about it. Here's why. I'm passionate about your soul right now. Because there's an enemy out there who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And let me tell you, he has every chance that he can get, he's going to work hard to do that. And so you need a pastor to fight for you, to say, hey, you're not going to go to hell. Instead, you're going to go to heaven. But the way you're going to get there is by saying yes to Jesus. So just take a few moments right now, right in your seats, while your eyes are closed and your head is bowed. And I want you to ask God, where would I go tonight? Would I go to heaven? Would I go to hell? Go ahead and open your eyes and lift your heads. Tonight, there's only one way in, church. And that's you having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to do is this. Is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go like this. One, two, three. Bang. My hands on this pulpit just like that. One, two, three. Bang. Just like that. When you hear my hands go bang, just like that. If you're in this room tonight and you've never given Jesus your whole heart, your whole life, all I want you to do is slip your hand up all over this room. Now, I know you're thinking, if I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Listen, you won't be embarrassed, but can I be honest with you? I'd rather be embarrassed for that split, less than half of a second, blink of an eye, second, to end up in hell for eternity because I was embarrassed to raise my hand. Why do I gotta raise my hand? Here's why. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, then I'll confess you before my Father. Confession's a pop of a hand. But the next part of verse says this, but if you deny me, I don't need no Jesus, I'm good, then I'll deny you before my Father. So who should do this if you've never given Jesus your whole life, your whole heart? Who else should do this if you've been running from God instead of to God? Who else should do this if you're lukewarm, a little in, a little out, token prayer here and there? Your heart wasn't fully submitted for the things of God. Bible says it like this in Revelation chapter 3. And the interesting thing I find about this is he was speaking to the church of Laodicea, and he says this: when I come back, not a matter of if I come back, when I come back, church, he's coming. I better find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I will spit you out, vomit you out of my mouth. In other words, you're not going to make it. So tonight, if you're in this place, you've never given Jesus your whole life, your whole heart. If you're in this place tonight, all over this room, and you've been running from God instead of to God, or if you're in this place tonight and you know you're a lukewarm Christian and you want to get right with God, when I count to three, all I want you to do is pop your hand up all over this room. Now, let me frame this two ways. You've come into church tonight already. Would you agree with me? You came to church tonight. You got into worship, got the word of God. You could walk out of this place tonight, get in a car accident, earthquake happen, tragedy take place, die, and stand before Jesus and him say this: didn't you hear that loudmouth preacher at you tonight? And you're like, uh-huh. Weren't you there at church? Didn't you hear him say he's going to give you the greatest invitation? Because you deny my invitation, I can't accept you into my kingdom. Or we could look at frame two. Here's the next picture we could look at. Here's another one we could look at. Came into church tonight, right? Would you agree we came to church tonight? You agree you got into worship tonight, right? Got the word of God tonight. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Donnie goes, one, two, three, bang. And you pop your hand up and Jesus sees you raise your hand, because he says, if you confess me before men, then I'll confess you before Father. You can walk out of these doors tonight and be in this picture and get in a car accident or earthquake happen or a tragedy take place and your life be taken. And you can stand before Jesus and hear these words: well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I don't know about you, but let me weigh my options here. There's no weighing here. I'd want to hear well done. But it's up to you tonight. On three, all over this room. One, two, three, bang. Anybody in this room, pop your hand up. Hands are going up everywhere. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Help me out. Nine, Help me out if there's any over here in the family room. 9 wise people. Any more over here? You're pointing somewhere, Isaac. 10, I got you. Any more? You're pointing somewhere else. Where are you at? Pointing some. Oh, up there in the family room? I can't see, man. You got to help me out, brother. Okay. 11, got you. Oh, wait, there's a hand way in the back, right? 12, got you. Is any more? Just pop your hand up all over this place. Oh, I think there's one there. 13, I got you, brother. 13 wise people. 14, 15, I got you. 15 wise people, is there any more tonight? Just say, I want to receive Jesus. I got you too, thank you. I got you, yeah, awesome, I got you. Any more, just pop your hand up. I didn't embarrass them, I don't want to embarrass you. But it's between you and God. Is there any more? Pop your hand up all over this room. 15 wise people, is there any more? I got you, 16. Is there any more? God's working on your heart, is there any more? If that's you, just pop it up. 17, got you. Oh, is there any more? 18, got you, brother. I see you back there. 18, is there any more? Just pop your hand up. I got you, 19. Any more, just pop your hand up. Say, Pastor, that's me. Oh, man, the Spirit of God is in this place. 19 wise people, is there any more? Any more, just pop your hand up. Matter of fact, here's what we're going to do, all 19 of you and anyone else. Here's what I want you to do. Everyone, just stand up in this place right now. Just stand up. Spirit of God is here. Just stand up right where you're at. Just stand up. Stand up all over this place. All 19 of you that raise your hand tonight, if you're serious about this, I'd like to meet you and I want to say a prayer with you up front. But I want you to come up now. Come on. Come on. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up if that's you. Come on up. Come on. Come on up. All 19. Come on. If you should have raised your hand and you didn't raise your hand, come on up. Come on. Come on. You're coming. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Keep going, guys. Come on. Keep it up, guys. Can we give it up for them? Come on. Clap. Come on. Come on. They're still coming. He's coming. Come on. We'll hold it up. There's more. Just keep on walking up. Come on, brother. I see you. Come on up. Come on. Now's not the time. Now's the time not to leave. It's time to walk up. It's people trying to come forward. Come on. Just keep it going, worship. Keep it going. Come on. Keep it going. Because I sense in my spirit, God is drawing more people. So if that's you, just come up. Just walk on up. There is nothing to be afraid of. All it's you is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So come on, if that's you, just come on up. Walk on up right now. Come on, church, keep it up. Keep it up. Encourage them. Encourage them. Come on up. I'm going to wait for you. I see you. Come on. Take your time. I got you. You're good. I don't want you to fall. You're good. You're good. Just come on up. This makes God's heart happy. Bible says he rejoices over one. Take a look at this. There's more than one up here. Here's what I want to say to you guys. This is the boldest step that you made. I know you might be thinking you've made some bold steps in your life, but it's a bold step to have a relationship with Jesus. Here's why everything changes from this day on. Things that you used to like, things you used to do, you begin to start pushing away and start not liking anymore. Things you used to watch, things you used to be involved in, guess what? Something inside of you says, convicts you, says, I can't go there no more. I can't watch that no more. I can't go to that place anymore because there's a thing inside of you and it's Jesus Christ. And so tonight, you guys are in the best place of your life. Put a smile on your face. Come on, man, put a smile on your face. You're on the way to a great road. At times, there's gonna be some bumpy stuff, come on. But that's why you got the church to look around. That's why you got people around here to help you walk through things. But here's what we're gonna do is this. You guys made the bold step and raised your hand. Made the bold step to walk forward. But we don't get there just by raising our hand. Here's what we get there by confessing with our mouth. And so we're gonna say a prayer, simple prayer. And in this prayer, you're just gonna repeat it after me. And listen, if you miss a word or two, do me a favor. Don't be like, oh, I missed it, I didn't make it. No. That's not the case. Position your heart. Okay? So I want you to repeat this after me. Matter of fact, all these people behind you are gonna repeat it as well because guess what? We're gonna be fam. Whether you like it or not, dude, you're gonna be family with this white boy. Okay, repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you tonight and I thank you for this opportunity that I have to serve you, to give my life and to give my heart to you. Jesus, I come here tonight broken as a sinner, wanting a new life. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. I repent and I turn away and I turn towards you. Tonight, I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, empower me. Help me live the life as a new Christian and a believer. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. There's the smiles. Now I see them. Come on. Come on, church. Give it up for them. Man, isn't God good? Isn't there something to be thankful for God tonight? Here's what it is. Your life. You came in here broken. You came in here lost and confused. You came in here wondering. You came in here a different way. I don't know where I'm at, but I want to make sure I get right. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to do something in all your guys' life. And here's what I want to say to you, and here's what I want to challenge you with. We have a wonderful discipleship ministry here called Faith-Filled Friends. Right over here is my friend, Pastor Joel. You're going to follow him in a few moments, and he's going to explain the process to you and explain some things for you. Your friends will wait for you. Believe me, we still got a few announcements before we dismiss tonight. But here's what I want to challenge all of you with. Give us 1 year of your life. 1 year. Today's what? November 16th. Right? This time next year, November 16th, give us 1 year of your life. What do I mean by 1 year? Come to church. Get involved. Listen, you can't say there's not enough services. We have 8 church services here. A week. On top of that, we add in Women Rock, which I think is this Thursday, young adults for the young adults this Friday. So there's a lot that's going on. So you can't say we don't have enough services. Please don't say we don't have enough, because I want to add more, and we don't need to add more. All the pastors are looking at me like, my challenge to you is this: give us 1 year of your life and watch what God does. All right? Go ahead and go with Pastor Joel. Come on, give him a hand, church. Pastor Teresa, come on up.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.